my snow machine happened to run out of gas, and I sat on my snow machine till it kind of cleared up. Because I was told when you happen to get the long snow move, just sit there and make yourself a tunnel to keep warm. But as the weather cleared up, I seen in the distance, I seen some lights. So I stood on my snow machine chair, and I thought it was a snow machine because they were blinking, and I started shouting for help.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Western Alaska can be brutal in winter. You don't want to get lost in a storm, especially if you're not ready to die. That's something today's storyteller knows about firsthand.
This is George Landlord speaking. I was born and raised at the village on the Yukon Delta, a village called Mountain Village. I'm an Eskimo Yupik from that area. I grew up with a family of 16, and I'm the third son, and I've got two older brothers. I grew up with a large family and a very loving father, and really loved his children. But at age between 3 and 4, I almost went blind, legally blind, but I was put in a little 3 by 5 maybe room covered with darkness, a blanket that surrounded me, and also a special made sunglasses that blocked any light coming in. And I was put in that room for over a month. And this is where I felt like I was really isolated or abandoned. And as I was growing up, we got to have a time to go to church at the Mountain Village with a very old pastor that had a discipleship with my dad and his best friend, and this is how my dad got to know the Lord. You know, we didn't have any electrical power, we didn't have any water and sewer, but in that time of living, it was very, I'd say very happy life, I guess. There was no violence, no drinking. Well, due to the elders that were very strict on these subjects, and it was a very good, happy memory growing up as a child, not seeing this violence. But to this day now, it's a different story. We used to go out, these wooden barrel skis. We used to take them apart, make our wooden skis, and cordon them with ice beneath them so we could slide down the mountain, and also ice skating on the Yukon, and just playing lap game, and just enjoying time as a child. And we just enjoyed these games outdoors, and we also had a very supportive parents that brought us up in how to not to do wrongs. But I thank God for very supportive parents. My dad was a good hunter. He trapped, he hunted, he fished, and I was there always with him. He was a very special father. Like I said earlier, I was almost blind, and he was there to meet my needs. And at the time, I couldn't speak when I was growing up as a child. I couldn't speak till, I think, when I was 5 or 6, I couldn't speak. But then I could, this is why my dad was there to meet my needs, and he was a very loving father. And then growing up with him, fishing and trapping and hunting, we were always together, and I took care of his dog teams, and we just done everything together. Then after high school, we had to go out of the village to attend a high school down at Oregon. It's a boarding school, and I went to school for 4 years down there. And after graduating, I was accepted to go to a vocational school at Seattle, Washington. But I wrote a letter and saying that it was too early to come to the school. I wanted a little more time to be home with my family for the summertime. But at that time, I had a draft notice, just the time when they were having a war at Nam. And then I got drafted into Army. And then after the boot camp and the training, I flew into Nam, over Vietnam, and spent my time over there. We had a small detachable team of men of 21. We were detachable because we moved functionally any place where we were called, and we were out there fighting fires. You know, these incoming rounds where they'd done damage, we were called, so we were just detachable, movable. But we saw some action. One of the terrible things I experienced was the third day when I got there. You know, I never felt the ground shook because these incomings and have a very bad experience. And the time we fought. And as a young man, I never thought I would get involved with, fighting. But it really shook and tore my life apart. But I thank God for one very lovely Christian in our company. He knew the Lord, and we're buddy-buddy system. And he also reminded me that there were some, we call these black market drugs, you know, drugs that you could purchase very easily from the streets. But he also had encouraged me not to buy those illegal drugs. Drinking, I did. Smoking marijuana, I didn't do it really quickly, but then I done it, but not many times. But I thank God for a Christian brother that was over there. He was just a very close buddy that we're always walking together. I watched his back. He watched my back. While being over there, I had a Western Union telegram message that, as I opened a letter from my mom saying that I should come home for couple of weeks to visit with my dad because he was dying of cancer. I spent my time over there for a couple of weeks, and then I flew back to my company, back over to Nam, and it took me a little time to catch a flight from US back over. So then after I got into my company, I walked into my room, and there was a large letter that were all tight and string as a huge packets. But I skimmed through my letters. And then I came across another telegram. And I opened it, and it was a message saying that my dad passed away and they wanted me home for the funeral. So I went go tell my commanding officer, but we went down to the headquarters too also. And then they were sort of saying that I couldn't make it because I just got back from my leave. But anyway, we talked our headquarters into it, so they let me catch a flight back to U.S. But I was 2 days late for the funeral and the burial. I spent time 2 weeks at home again, and then I flew back again. And then my time was up for to leave Nam, and I went back to U.S., And then as we were living in Mount Willis, I applied for a job for a teacher aide under our operation of BIA school. I got hired as a teacher aide, and in the time when I was working, you know, the memories from the war really started tearing my life, and I started turning into drinking. One time, I knew the trail and snow machine, so I took a ride one time at a place called Kristallback Mountain. It's in a huge area, in a huge mountain out in the flats. But as I was taking a ride, coming back, in my mind, I think I knew the trail. But then I was going back through the main trail, and the snow started coming in, and it got very terrible. And then I thought to myself, I'll still continue making this if I follow this trail, the main trail. But it got so bad, I got lost in the meadow, in a big, huge opening. And as I was traveling, I continued not knowing, but I was going running in circles. My snow machine happened to run out of gas, and I sat on my snow machine until it kind of cleared up. Because I was told when you happen to get lost, don't move, just sit there and make yourself a tunnel to keep warm. But as the weather cleared up, I seen in the distance, I seen some lights. So I stood on my snow machine chair, and I thought it was a snow machine because they were blinking. And I started shouting for help. And I looked very carefully, there was Mountain Village street lights. So I started walking towards that light, but the snow was so deep, about 3-4 feet deep, I was still falling into the snow, so I was getting tired myself, so I started crawling through the tree line on my belly for a long time. But I made it home safely that evening. One time as I was working outdoors on my yard, cutting some wood, and there was a girl that happened to pass by walking up to the post office, and we got acquainted, and this is how we got to know each other, and we started living together for some years. But and I thank God for a Christian lady that had approached us and said living together was not right, and we were living in sin. So, but on December 9, 95, we came back from a very cold snow machine ride. As we had gone into our home, my girlfriend happened to walk into the living room and turn on the TV. So, and that's the last part of a Billy Graham crusade. So, and as Billy Graham was speaking to the people out there, into the world that don't know the Lord. So at that moment, at the same time, my girlfriend and I got on our knees, and we invited Jesus into our life as our Lord and Savior.
You don't have to get caught in a snowstorm like George to be lost. In fact, we're all born that way. Sin separates us from God, and when you're separated from God, you're lost. One day, God will judge all who are lost in sin. The good news is that he has made a way back to him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to his words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Put your trust in Jesus and experience God's amazing grace. Then you too can say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Want to know more? Visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to George's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.